Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before you, Lord. You have, I know, personally excited me with the things that you've shared with me, Father, things that I didn't necessarily believe that I can impart, Father, but you drew things out of the well that you've placed in me, Father. Lord, we just ask that you do that continuously throughout this message, this teaching this morning, Father. Bring out what you've put into me, Father, no hindrance. Let the people hear, not necessarily from me, Father, but from your Holy Spirit this morning, Father. Thank you for your word in season, Father. I know it's definitely in season. I know it's a timely word, Father. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, use me as the oracles of you, Father. Let the rivers of living water flow out of me, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the move of your Holy Spirit in this assembly this morning. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was I've been excited all morning as going through assembly just because realizing how good God is. You know, we can go through and experience God's goodness, and it's always we see the little things that God does on our behalf, and a lot of times we realize that he's just showing out just to let us know that he does care for us. He does speak to us. He does confirm his word. I had wrote down, or I didn't actually write it down at the time, but God had shared with me a week ago what he wanted to share, what he wanted me to share this morning. And the message or the teaching that he wanted me to teach was praise and worship like never before. Praise and worship like never before. I'm like, Lord, I'm not on the praise team. You know, I'm not a musician, so to speak. I'm not up there. I'm not, you know, this is not me. Let me go and do a teaching on X, Y. Well, I didn't even give them the topics. But it was funny because over the time, he drew out of me what was already in me. I was like, okay, I see that, I see that. And there was some scriptures that came to mind that immediately I started, okay, that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to share some things in regards to that. He gave me a specific scripture, which is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Then I thought of some other scriptures that came to mind as I look at praise and worship like never before. And what he had shared with me, I get here Wednesday night, and Brother Richard just lays it all out. I'm like, yes, I got, yes. And he just shared just some valuable truth Wednesday night. And so if you weren't here, definitely get the tape. I say tape. We don't do tapes anymore. log on, line, CDs. Get the message. If you consider this a part two, could be a part two. But what God had shared with me is praise and worship like never before. He also gave me a song on the way here. And everything that I'm going to share is basically expounding upon what Sister Michelle was sharing this morning. I was like, this woman of God, she's always into, you know, when Pastor talked about you can come to church and know the vein that God has for assembly, what direction he's going, Michelle is always tough because I was like, ooh, that was, was in my notes. But there was a song that, and she'll appreciate this, a song that was impressed in my heart. And I wasn't even listening to the song on the way here. I'll tell you what I was listening to on the way up here. That'll trip y'all out. we'll get to that. But there was a song, or a phrase of a song, that was stuck in my spirit on the way up here, and that was, praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. All right. And then Sister Michelle gets up and says, all right, we haven't done this before. I'm going to introduce y'all to this new song, Praise Is What I was like. Can we skip some stuff and get right to what God wanted to share? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is from the New American Standard. It says, let the word of Christ, First Lady approached, it's like, stand up at attention. Let the word of Christ, or some translations, the word of the Lord, richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell richly, or let the word of the Lord richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's where we're going to camp out this morning. The beginning of that talks about how we should have the word of the Lord dwelling richly in us. That word richly is talking about abundance. You know, the scriptures talk about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what should we instill within us? The word of God, because that's what we want to flow out of us. So understand that as we get into this scripture here, this is the focal point, the word of God dwelling richly in us. We're all well taught here. If you've been here for quite a while, you know that there's been some good ministry and good teaching here. And what we don't want to do is just bottle all of this in and not do anything with it. Okay, you understand? We want the word to flow out of us. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. The scripture here, the word is logos, and it means in an objective sense what is communicated by the instruction or doctrine. What is communicated by the instruction, I should say, doctrine. So the things that you have learned, the things that have been shared with you, these are the things that we should dwell richly within us. Meditating on the scripture, meditating on the message. If the first time you hear a message from Pastor Jim or Brother John or Brother Richard, if that's the first and only time you hear that message, then that can be a problem. Because the message that we hear should be repeated over and over until it sinks into our hearts. The word of God we should hear over and over and over. Y'all have heard Pastor Jim minister this and say that the price of education is what?
Repetition.
Repetition. We need to hear it. We need to see it in different veins. We need to, we're going to see a different vein here, but we need to hear it in different formats, if you will. The word of God. It says, dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So the word of God that's in us should be used to flow out of us in teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching talks about, you know, obviously imparting instruction, instilling doctrine into one. So the word that's been shared with you, use it to not only live by, but to teach others with it. Admonish. What does admonish mean? It means to tell or urge someone to do something. To tell or urge someone to do something. So whatever you've learned, obviously we were urged to do something. The scriptures come with a message of doing something. There's a scripture that talks about let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, we should be doing something with what we're learning. Understand? The next part of it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with how do we teach and admonish one another? And frankly, I hadn't seen this before until the Lord opened this up to me. I've seen the scripture many, many times. He says, here is how you teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Many of y'all know that one of the things that I do is I teach at the University of Texas. We have a financial planning program, and there's people that are looking to become financial planners, and I help run that program. And when it comes to the very end, I always tell the students in the class, if they're giving a recommendation to a client, it's got to be specific. Don't just tell them to do something. You give them the when, the what, the how, and the why. Won't go through all that, but the point is that it needs to be detailed. If you tell someone that they need to do something and don't give them instruction on how, kind of just sits on the shelf and they don't necessarily know what to do or how to move, so they just don't do it. This scripture gives us the what, which is teaching and admonishing. This is what we as believers are to do. What I never focused on until the Lord had opened it up to me is the how. How do we go about teaching and admonishing one another? Because in my mind, I had this one-dimensional aspect of what teaching and admonishing is. My one-dimensional aspect is, or was, you know, someone gets in the pulpit or you go listen to a Bible tape or go to a Bible study and someone's teaching and admonishing. That's my one frame work. God says, no, it's much broader than that. You actually teach by action. People can see you acting and then learn from it. There's so much that I've actually learned at House of the Lord. When Pastor Jim talks about the things that the ministers have learned, a lot of what I've learned actually came from watching Pastor Jim, watching how he responds in different situations, watching how he treats Sister Lou, watching all these different things. Well, that's teaching by action or lifestyle. In this particular passage, it's talking about teaching by what? Or with what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The words that we sing, again, this all stems from the word of Christ dwelling richly in us. That should flow out of us, and we should be teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let's tackle these one at a time. Psalms. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. This is Jesus talking after he had been resurrected. Disciples, he comes to his disciples. They didn't necessarily recognize him. Then he shows them his hands and his feet. They say, oh, yeah, okay. Then he asks for food. They feed him broiled fish, as a matter of fact. And verse 44, then he says to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Understand that the word of the Lord, or the revelation of God, was hidden in the law of Moses. It was hidden or prophesied forth in the prophets, and it was contained in Psalms. The Psalms is a revealing of who God is, who our Lord is. He shares that here. Look at, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Y'all know in ministers, they repeat the scriptures. It's not necessarily for you. They're saying that so they can find it. 1 Corinthians, that's a little secret, 14, verse 26. All right. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. You know, there's some people who would like to come to assembly and, you know, if I can just get up in the time where Pastor Jim is ministering, that's the main meat of assembly. If I can just make it to church when he's talking, I'm getting what God has for the people. And they miss out on realizing that what God has for the people starts in praise and worship. The teaching doesn't start when one of the ministers gets up. The teaching, the admonishing, the urging actually starts in praise and worship.
Amen.
And a lot of times we look at this as, well, praise and worship is about reaching out to God, thanking God, and responding to Him. That's a big part of it. But another big part of it is that's where God teaches us, and I would argue a lot of times the most, is in the worship. And I'll give you examples that God has just, you know, drawn out of my life. So that's Psalms. Hymns is another word that you see here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hymns here is the sacred songs. That's what it means, a sacred song, or literally a hymn. You know, I give you background. I grew up in the First Baptist Church of Plano, Texas. That's where I went to church every day. And yes, I was one of the people that was, or one of the kids that was dragged to church. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't drag your kids to church. Yes, you should. I didn't want to go to church, but that's where mom and dad dragged me to church. And one day, I got hooked on it. They didn't necessarily need to drag me to church. It was just, hey, it's Sunday. Yeah. Are we going to church or what? The kids start getting the parents ready. Come on, mom, let's go. Because that's where our friends were, your teacher, your people you know, and you were going to get a word from the Lord. And in the assembly, First Baptist Church of Plano, probably shouldn't say the name, but too late. You know, they were good about, you know, you're going to be in assembly 50 minutes and you're out. Boom. It was a lot different when I came to House of the Lord. Y'all understand. I came from 50-minute services, go to college, meet up with some crew, and show up at House of the Lord. And, you know, and there were times where I was in long services when I would, you know, visit family and go to the Kojic churches or whatever. Y'all think we have a long service. Y'all haven't been to a Kojic assembly. That's, hey, we going to break for lunch and we coming right back. We're going to finish this thing out. It's a long time. But the point of all that was there was this hymn book. And it used to bother me during song service, I guess is what they would call it, because we would break out the hymn book and it was number whatever. Start singing. And there was always the go-tos. If there was going to be salvation, there was the go-to hymn. Just as I am, without one plea. Y'all remember that? Waiting, just as I am, without one plea. Waiting, Lord. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to use this. There we go. But y'all remember that. And so, you know, I thought, this is, wasn't excited. I get to college, and I became a member of the started joining the Baptist Student Union because I told you I grew up Baptist. I was looking for some Christian folk. Join the Baptist Student Union. was like, hey, we're going to get this thing rolling. I'm at college and, you know, left to my own devices, I can get a little wild, so I'm going to restrain myself and go do what I'm supposed to do. Mom and daddy not here. So I joined that, and it was good. Followed some people who were teaching the Word of God, because that's what I truly love, was the Word of God. Lo and behold, this is my first year in college. Get to October, or first semester in college, get to October. It's October 31st, Thursday night. I'll never forget this day. Thursday, October 31st, and, you know, me, I'm raised Baptist. Baptists are taught a lot of things that there's a lot of things out there in the world that's evil. You need to stay away from it. So I knew Halloween was one of them. So I'm like, what? All these people going out and partying. Everybody was heading to 6th Street to, you know, cut loose, wear some crazy attire. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to sit here and play Mega Man. I played that enough. I've solved too many levels on Mega Man. I had the Nintendo. That was the video game that I played. I need to find something to do. This girl, never forget this, Letitia Lewis, says, hey, why don't you come to Intervisions, gospel choir practice? It's like, Intervisions? I ain't never been in no choir. Well, actually, I was in a choir. It wasn't gospel, though. It was First Baptist Church Youth Choir. We sang some stuff. It wasn't gospel. And so I knew music was a part of my life. I get to this choir, and I can remember the night I got there. I was just blown away. Here were a whole, let me back up. I'm just going to, y'all mind if I be real? Okay. So my upbringing was in Plano, Plano East Senior High, predominantly white. And so I had a lot of white friends, love the Lord, study the Word. That's just the way I grew up. People of my persuasion, most of them were in sports. I wasn't in sports, so that's where they got their fellowship, from football, basketball. Those of you who know my story or testimony, got a very, very sad testimony. Tried out for the basketball team because that's really what I really, really wanted to do. Still regret it to this day. And the coach told me, well, hey, no, you're too short. That's what, see there? I'm looking at Christy. Don't tell any of your students that they're too short. Most of y'all, well, a lot of y'all know, Michael Jordan was cut from the team. He didn't make his team. He went a different route, though. He didn't quit. I was like, short people can't play basketball, so let me go do something else. I went and joined the band. And I said, okay, if I can't play basketball, I'm going to be in the band. Well, I'm going to play the baddest instrument in the band, alto sax. That is by far the baddest instrument in the brass section. See there? So that's what I ended up doing. Music was a part of my life. I got into jazz band and, you know, really enjoyed and rocked jazz band, found out about people like Charlie Parker, found out about the group Spyro Gyra, the jazz band. I found out about Kenny G, found out about David Sanborn. I was killing it. This is where I loved and I belonged, and I enjoyed it. So understand that, you know, I come from this background. I get to college, and I've always been a word man. And I go to this Intervisions rehearsal October 31st, and it just blew me away, because here was a group of probably this section here, a room filled of people praising God, and it was gospel music. And that struck me, one, because they were excited about what they were singing about, and it came from within. And secondly, what struck me was, there's this many black people that love the Lord. I'm not gonna lie, this is what struck, I'm just telling you like it is. This is my upbringing. I went to First Baptist Church Plano. I knew a lot of white people love the Lord. But you go and see a room. Not only was it a lot of black people, but these were students hungry for God. Understand, when you go to church, you see a lot of adults, and you expect, okay, adults, you know, they love the Lord. These were college students praising the Lord and worshiping like never before. I remember the popular song then was Jesus is Real. Y'all remember that? Jesus is real, I know the... I can't sing very well. But I was like, and this group is, I want to be a part of this group. And I remember John Hendricks. He was one of the people I remember that first night. This dude standing up and preaching. I was like, there's fire here too. I was like, these people, this wasn't no, you know, 50 minutes, which understand, when you have a 50-minute service, that means you have a 10-minute message. You know, because you got preliminaries that go through. And so I'm seeing, I was like, these people love the Lord. And they were going on this trip. I think it was in 2 weeks. They had what they called college days. And I was like, well, hey, I'm a part of this group. Hey, let's sign me up. I don't know the songs, but I'm going to learn them. And I'm going to college day with y'all in 2 weeks. And actually, it was in 2 weeks, they were going to A&M. I was like, sign me up. I'm on the bus. These people love the Lord, and they look like me. I'm going with them. just telling you how it is, how it was with me. So I got hooked up, and it was totally a huge part of my life. I'm talking about praise and worship like never before. Praise and worship has always been a part of me, or I would say music has always been a part of me. I'm going to share a couple of things. Why people look at music. Let's take it from a natural perspective, okay? I've looked at all the research, and three reasons you can sum up why people listen to music. First of all, when they've done all the research, and you know, they psychologists, they go and research everything ad nauseum. They come up with 500 plus reasons or functions of why music plays a role in people's life. They take that 500 function list, they dwindle it down to 129 non-redundant reasons why people listen to music. They take the 129 reasons or functions of music, and they came up with three categories of why people listen to music. And I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to show you why this is so impactful. People listen to music, number one, to regulate arousal and mood. And when I say arousal, it's not that type. This is just arousal of stimulus in you. People listen to music to regulate arousal and mood. And I'll go through each of these in depth. That's number one. The number two reason is to achieve self-awareness. To achieve self-awareness. You've all heard and seen this, and you've probably experienced it in your life. You hear a song, you hear the lyrics, and you're like, how do they just know me? You know, because it really speaks to you about what you're going through or that particular situation, and you think that the writer of the song wrote this particular passage about you, and not necessarily the case. There's a lot of people that are going through what you go through. So that's the number two reason, and then not, well, pretty far behind, the third reason is an expression of social relatedness. Social relatedness. In other words, people will listen to music that represents a culture or a group of people, and they identify with that particular type of music. You understand? So let's talk about these, because this is where what God was drawing out of me. Let's hit the first one. Social relatedness. People can use music to feel close to their friends, to express their identity and values to others, and to gather information about their social environment. Well, what does that mean? You go back to the 80s, 90s. so I'm like, if y'all are close to me, understand that you are prime material for any time I teach. So if you don't want to be a part of any of what I share, don't get close to me. Anyway, there were some of us, I won't mention any names, but Daniel O'Brien, you know, they came to the university and the music that they had was pretty militant. And he'll tell you, he was listening to some militant stuff. Well, this is a part of social relatedness. You had groups like Public Enemy speaking out to the causes of what was going on at the time. You know, that's one example. I was at work the other day and coming out of my office, and these two girls were jamming to 80s, 90s music, and they were blasting Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Social relatedness. You know, the phone rings in the middle of the night, my father yells. See there? Y'all were listening too. That social relatedness. Self-awareness, the second biggest thing. Music helps people think about who they are, who they would like to be, and how to cut their own path. So in this area, you're looking at self-related thoughts, emotions, sentiment. People look to music to distract them from the outside world. They look to music to escape. This is one of the biggest reasons why people listen to music. It's self-awareness. Now, some of y'all have picked up where I'm going with all of this. If these are the reasons why people are listening to music and the church has the Word of God available for them, how are we going to continue to teach and admonish others? How did we learn? Every single one of us can go through our growing up process and look at different songs that reached out to us, that ministered to us, that spoke to us, more so than they can remember a message. More so than they can remember a teaching. It was words through music. And yet we have the Word of Christ that we have in music, that we can teach and admonish one another. So the last one, arousal and mood regulation. This includes statements about the use of music as background entertainment and diversion, and as a means to get into a positive mood and regulate one's physiological arousal. In other words, music can make me cheerful. It can help me relax. Music can make me more alert. This is why people listen to music. And I never, until God was speaking to me, never realized the impact or importance of music. But he says that we're to teach and admonish with it. And yet what the church has done, because the church, when I say church, old school church, considered music evil, and so they let the world have it, when music always belonged in the church and was always inspired by God. Always. He was the creator of music. You know, I saw all the, you know, on my Facebook, the day that Prince died, all these condolences and people pouring out their hearts that, you know, you would think they were close to him. Well, it was because of the impact of the music. And I look at his, you know, life and the talent that he had, one of the greatest musicians ever. Guess where that skill came from? God. God. Every single musician who has the ability to, you know, just play these riffs and play like it's so easy to them and just connect with their instrument or their voice or whatever, that comes from the Lord. Don't let anybody fool you. Regardless of what they're singing or what their whatever their lyrics are, understand that that comes from God. And the enemy can take any gifting, calling, or skill that you have and use it for his devices, or you can submit it to God and let God use that God-given ability to you. Understand that. So if this is what we see in music, if this is why people are pursuing it, then let's use it. Let's teach and admonish one another. You've heard Pastor get up and share, and he talks about, you know, old school music, talking about, you know, I'm just a worm. You know, if you're singing about I'm just a worm, and you can go out and get in the world and hear something that builds you up, so to speak, but takes God out of the equation, what do you think people would rather listen to? Right. So they come to church and they hear this, I'm just a worm, and they're like, this song here is telling me, you know, I'm every woman. Hey, let's rock it, Chaka Khan. You know, let's go. This I'm every woman. I'm not just a worm. This is who I am. Yes. You know, because it builds them up, it picks them up. But does it do it in a way that leaves God out of the equation? And that's the thing about it, is it's got to be brought about by God. It's got to have the word of Christ dwelling richly in it. When we look at this arousal and mood regulation, you know, you go back to the age-old question. People say, you know, if you were on a deserted island, if you could pick one group or one genre or whatever, what music would it be? You know, you've heard that question. If it was one book or one music, what would it be? For me, that's pretty easy. I can answer that question. If it was a book, obviously, I'd pick the Bible, because there's so much in the Word, and practically everything that you're going to find in mainstream literature, you're going to see a lot of the same things that come from the Word. I can spend, you know, eternity just on the Word. Now, if you ask me about music, I know this may come as a shock to some of you. If I was stuck on an island, one group, it was tough for me to, because someone asked me this, and I don't like to play these games because I don't like to think of what-if scenarios. But I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I said, okay, one group, one album collection, came down to two. The one who won out, second, was Stevie Wonder. Got to have the collection of Stevie Wonder. Everything, it, you know, whether it's Superstition, whether it's Science Hymn Delivered, whether, you know, got the whole collection, best of Stevie Wonder. First one that's definitely edged out would have to be one of the greatest bands of all time, Earth, Wind, and Fire. This is just me. It's just me. And people ask me, they're like, what is wrong? You were born in 1973. How do you know about this stuff? And it was because I remember the day that I so-called fell in love with music, or we were in love with music. And it was my brother and I were growing up, and we were latchkey kids. Didn't work in today's society. But we were, that just meant we were left at home by ourselves to raise ourselves. And, you know, we did all the foolishness, created forts and did stuff and tried to make cookies in the little toaster oven, not without a recipe, and, you know, messed up things. But I found my dad's record collection one day and put the records on, and it was Motown, the greatest hits from Motown. I was like, Motown, this is heaven right here. You know, I would play this thing. It was the 25 greatest hits. So I got introduced to the Supremes. I got introduced to Stevie Wonder. I got introduced to Smokey Robinson. I got introduced to all these different people. I would just play this record over and over and over, secretly. I didn't want my dad to know, because if my dad found out I was playing with his records, you know, there was trouble. But it spoke to me. I was like, this is music. Then I got into church and realized, oh, music comes from God. Oh, the word flows through music. So let me bring this home to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and teach you how, or show you how God opens up music to us to teach. I was told you I'd get back to those who I used to hang out with at college, none other than Brother John Hendricks. John Hendricks, he would, there was a song that he would always sing, and if you have a great relationship with John, there's going to be times, if you're close to him, and you're out in the open, and there's nobody around, John's going to sing, and he's going to sing loud. And there were times where we'd be hanging out, walking on campus, and he would frequently sing this song by, that's why I asked you, Larnell Harris. He would sing, I miss my time with you. those moments together. I long to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say, you're too busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? John used to sing this loud. And, you know, if John had come to me and said, hey, did you spend time with God today? Or how was your private time with the Lord? Or have you done it today? I'd be like, Joker, you ain't my mom. Hey, my private time is fine with the Lord. But he sang. And every time he sang, without a doubt, I would always think in my mind, have I spent time with the Lord today? Have I spent time with God? This was a love relationship that came out of John's heart that taught me. Have I spent time with God? Music teaches. Music admonishes. There was a... Yes, music definitely ministers. There was a song that Brian, when I was hanging out with Brian, he would always play on a piano. And Brian, for those of you who don't know, Brian doesn't play the piano. Just going to get that out. Brian knew one song that he learned in Inner Visions on a piano, and it was Speak to My Heart, Lord. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Message of love. The chorus was, speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. And then, of course, you know, this is gospel, so they take it up in key. Speak to my... Anyway. I can't do them keys, but hey, I knew. Every single time I had two thoughts. One was I listening to the Holy Spirit? Had I been listening to the Holy Spirit as of recent days? Was I sensitive to the Spirit of God? Every time he played that, that's what would trigger in me. The second thing that would trigger in me was, Brian, why don't you learn a new song? You got one song, you're a one-hit wonder. But this is what ministered to me. Songs, teaching and admonishing one another in song. This is where we live. Look, if the people aren't going to get the wonderful words and music from you of what things they should be listening to that are the Word of God, they're going to get it from somewhere. I guarantee you, every one of us has grown up listening to music. And we all have different types, different genres. I was shared with you, you know, my flavor, if you will, is, you know, funk. I like funk. Pastor doesn't like funk. Pastor likes blues. I found that out one day and I was like, ooh, I'm not going to bring that up again. Well, apologize, I just brought it up again. he doesn't like it. He's got his genre. You know, everybody else has their genre. I remember Jennifer and I were watching TV late one night, and I had to write the song down because I forgot what the name of it was. It just cracked me up. There it is. Jennifer and I flipping channels one night, and it was this video. You know how they're trying to sell music. This video came on, it was 1950s country and western. Some of y'all will know this song. Jennifer and I didn't. So, it wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels. I was like, what in the world? It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels by Kitty Wells. I was like, what the? So, Jennifer and I are just cracking up about that. And we get to assembly, some fellowship or whatever. We were just sharing that with some people, in particular the Arm Brewsters. And Arm Brewster's eyes lit up. He's like, I know that song. I was like, what the? Why do you know this song? And he says, I'm big country and western. I was like, okay, first of all, why do you know this song? Second of all, why do you like country and western? because this brother don't like no country western. It fascinated me. And so then Steve and I were talking, and I got to know Steve a lot, but he even educated me on that there's country and there's western. I just thought it was one thing. So country and western, that's just one thing. He's like, no, Kenneth, there's country and there's western. And so then I had to go and do research and look it up, but I was like, so that's his flavor. He loves country and western. I, you know, don't. Give me some funk and I'll be all right. This is me. But how do we reach each other? We're supposed to be teaching and admonishing through music. Teaching and admonishing through music. I learned this. Preston has brought some things out of me that I didn't necessarily realize was there. But when every one of y'all has kids, and you know, it's like, wow, that's just amazing. They teach you sometimes. And let me borrow this mic. Oh, excuse me for a moment. Bring this down. So there were times where Preston was crying and all ecstatic. And I found out this about Preston early on, that he was just agitated or whatever. And I found that music can calm him. And it was one particular song that I'm going to have Damon just sing a couple of verses to you or whatever. But it was No Weapon by Fred Hammond. You know that one? Of course he does. He's
check. There we go. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, it won't work. Say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, it won't work.
Thank you. This calmed press. I was at the jackpot. Every time he would get agitated, I would just, you know, pick out my phone, which is, interestingly enough, Preston thinks that everything comes from a phone. He didn't grow up in the age that we did, where you just, the phone, all you could do was call people. No, he's like, Daddy, go get your phone, play. I was like, that's not what a phone is for. But I would play that song, and, you know, I'd forgotten about it a while back, but he used to calm himself, and I had forgotten about that song. And I would play Pandora Station. I started with Fred Hammond. He loves him some Fred Hammond. Loves some Fred Hammond. And I would play Pandora Station with Fred Hammond. And Jennifer and I used to think that Preston was, well, it's going to sound bad, but we used to think that Preston was hard of hearing. Because we would tell him stuff, and he wouldn't. It's like, why aren't you listening? And so we had him tested or whatever. It's like, no, his hearing's fine. And the doctor said, no, he just is busy. It's like, what the? Busy? What does that mean? Busy? Didn't listen to his mom and dad. But no, he would be playing. And, you know, we would tell him stuff. Preston, do this or go do this. And he'd keep playing. Preston, do this. Wouldn't listen. And this song came on. And the opening bars is very, very quiet. And he's sitting there playing. This is as he's grown up a little. And he looks at me and he's like, I was like, what? And then he runs into this, we're in the bathroom. He runs out into the front room and it's his song on that he grew up with. No weapon that would calm him. And he would start jumping up and down, screaming, because this was in him. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And when I say screaming, I'm like pressing and screaming and jumping up and down. I knew that he wasn't hard of hearing because I didn't recognize the song until Fred Hammond started singing it. He knew from the opening bars, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And he's since moved on away from that. He still loves that song, but Now his favorite, or was his favorite song by Fred Hammond, was Blessed. So every time we're riding in the car, taking him to daycare, it was, you know, I'd pray over him. I'd say, Preston, you are growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Great is your peace and undisturbed composure. You are the healed of the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I say, Preston, you are blessed. And he would sometimes he would say, amen. Usually he'll say, play Blessed. Play Blessed. I was like, Preston, I'm driving. You know, wait till I get to a stop sign, and I pull the video up, and I play Blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must flee. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. And he would just, you know, and then of course, black folk, got to take the key change. So Fred Hammond would take it a little higher. I can hang with him for a little bit, and then it's, where the praise team at? But this is what touched him. Now his new thing, his new song, that I have to play for him is Every Praise. Every Praise. Every Praise. He's like, and I didn't realize that he even knew this song until I'm working with him changing his diapers, and, you know, Preston tells me, yes, he is. Yes, he is. So I'm like, yeah, I'm agree with Preston. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Preston says, no, God, my Savior, God, my Deliverer. Come on, you know, teaching through song. I could have told Preston, God is your Savior, God is your Deliverer. How did Preston learn that? Through song. Preston can do his whole ABCs. How did Preston and all of us learn our ABCs? Through the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yes, it's the same tune. See? Hey, you come to church, you're going to learn something. No. Understand, and he's not the only one. Many adults, there was some, one of my high school friends posted on the Facebook. They said, you know, one time they said, shut up. I just realized I'm a grown woman, that Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and ABC, you know, ABCs, it's the same tune. That's how we learned our ABCs, through music, the importance of music. You don't think this is important? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. Two more scripture passages, and then we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. Very well-known passage. It says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And right after this, talking about filled with the Spirit, what are we doing as we're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We're talking about praise and worship like never before. The Word of God has to be in you to such an extent that you are singing about it, you are declaring it, you are ministering it. If you can tell how close a believer is to God, by not how much word they know, but how much praise and worship is in their life. Come on. All right. I firmly believe that. I have been around the block. I have been around people who know the word, and they were just as confused. But I've been around people who didn't necessarily know the word, but boy, you get alone with them and watch them praise the Lord. They knew how to reach God. If we want to have change in our life, and experience what God has for us, miracle signs and wonders, it has to be in direct relation to the word of our praise and worship. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 26. I'll give you this last example, and then ask the praise team to come and sing us out or close us out with praise is what I do. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 26 says here, the crowd rose up against them. Whoa. Yeah. And the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Understand this. We've been taught well about prayer, maybe not to the fullest extent about music, but it was the word in their prayer, and it was the word in their hymns of praise to God. And who was listening? The prisoners. Because of the prisoners getting secondhand, what happened to the prisoners? It says here, verse 26, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. It wasn't that Paul and Silas just brought deliverance to themselves through prayer and praise and worship. Paul and Silas brought deliverance to the people around them. You tell me that you don't think that your praise and worship is effective. Your praise and worship, I'm getting excited. Praise and worship doesn't just impact you, it impacts the people around you. When you worship God, when you reach the heart of God, when you minister His word in song, you are bringing deliverance every place that you go to the people around you, the people that work with you. Praise and worship, we need to do this like never before. If we're expecting signs, wonders, and miracles to flow, and Pastor has said that praise is the highest form of faith, then guess what we as believers need to be doing? While praise team is coming back, if y'all don't mind, bring out what I thought this was. I think this came from, this may have came from Grandma to Preston. This, Preston was, he was looking for one day, he wanted his mic and his tambourine. He's like, where's my mic and tambourine like Nina, Sister Tina? He's like, I want my mic and tambourine like Sister Nina, because he sees them on the praise team. He wants to praise and worship. And somebody got this for him. This is part of the Thomas, the train set. Part of it, or we thought it was Thomas the train set. I'll set this right here for musicians. Preston thinks, he says, I want my stage. I was like, what stage are you talking about? He's like, my stage, I need my stage. Praise, you know, praise team has a stage. He wants a stage. So he goes and gets this. This is his stage. It's like, okay, a little off, but he had to have a stage because the praise team has a stage. Preston has a stage. We're like, well, what is it? You want me to take the train track off? He's like, "That's." He lets us know that's not a train track. Well, what is that? Preston said, that's my computer. Because he sees Uncle D with a computer on the stage. So we've got his stage, we got Uncle D's computer, and now Preston's ready to go. He's like, all right, let's sing Bless. Let's sing, let's worship God. And it just blessed me because, you know, God was teaching me. It wasn't a message, it wasn't a sermon, it was through music that if we want to live the life that God has called us to, we got to praise and worship like never before. And we're going to close out with this, and I'll let Brother Richard dismiss us, but praise is what I do. You want to see breakthrough in your life? Sing the word. You want to see deliverance in your life? Sing the word. You want to see abundance happen in your life? Sing the word. You want to go to heights that you've never been in the Lord? Praise and worship him. Worship him. Talk about all that he does. The pastor used to tell us this all the time. We need to go through scriptures and look at all the traits of God. Write those down and then do as David did. Sing them. Make them psalms. So, thank you.
I lift my praise to you. Father, we vow to praise you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, continually. Your praise shall be in our mouth. Continually, we lift before you the songs of praise, the hymns of praise before you of your goodness, of your mercy, of your loving kindness, of your great strength, and your love towards your people. Oh, we thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We are praisers of the Most High God, created in His likeness, in His image, so that we can relate to Him, to offer Him our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand with us to see this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I say that the Lord shines His face on you, His countenance lifts you up, His Spirit covers you, His Word empowers you, His anointing infuses you with His divine ability, and you can do all things. You continually stay in His care, in His love, abiding in His presence, in the shadow of the Almighty. You are loved, you are blessed. Tell someone about the goodness of God. Sing a song of praise. Sing a song of joy.
Yes.
Let the praise of the Lord teach and admonish those around you. Amen. Yes.